Today I want to read a few passages from today's Torah chapter and reflect on the life of Joseph. Let us open Genesis chapter 37, verses 3, 4, 5, and verse 11. Genesis 37, verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his other sons, because he was the son of his old age. So he had made him a long-sleeved tunic. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak to him in shalom. Then Joseph dreamed a dream and told his brothers, and they hated him even more. And verse 11. So his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the speech in mind. You and I can read that it was a prophetic dream. The Lord gave Joseph direction and revealed him his calling. But what was the price of this calling? What was the price of Joseph's calling? Let us open Genesis 37 and verse 28. Genesis 37, verse 28. When some men, Midianite merchants, passed by, they dragged Joseph up and out of the pit, and they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph to Egypt. Although Joseph was innocent, he was sold into slavery by his own brothers and went through incredible trials in his life. But this is not the end of his troubles. When Joseph was in the house of Potiphar, an official of Pharaoh, the Lord blesses him in everything and gives him prosperity and success. Potiphar puts Joseph in charge of his entire house. It would seem that this is the time to enjoy his life, and all trials and hardships are already behind Joseph because the Lord gives him success. But let us read what happened next. Let us open Genesis chapter 39, verse 7. Now after these things, the master's wife lifted up her eyes at Joseph and said, "Come, lie down with me." But he refused. "Look," he said to his master's wife, "my master doesn't think about anything in the house with me in charge. And everything that belongs to him, he is entrusted into my hand. No one in this house is greater than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. So how could I commit this great evil and sin against God?" Verse 11. Now on one such day, he came into the house to do his work, and none of the people of the house were there in the house. Then she grabbed him by his garment, saying, "Come, lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand, fled, and went outside. Verse 17. She spoke the same words to him, saying, "The Hebrew slave that you brought us approached me to fool with me. When I raised my voice and screamed, he left his garment with me and fled outside." Now when his master heard the words his wife spoke to him, saying, "Such are the things your slave did to me," his anger burned. Then Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. So there he was in the prison. What a story. Joseph's righteousness and honesty cost him dearly. Again, he finds himself in an even more difficult situation, from which there was no way out, and all of these only because Joseph did not compromise with sin. After Potiphar's wife took his clothes, he did not run to his master and did not disgrace the Potiphar's family, but defended Potiphar's reputation by humbly accepting the undeserved punishment and thereby covered the shame of Potiphar. Why I'm talking about this today? I truly believe because what happened in the world in the days of Joseph is happening in our days too. And people have always been tempted by the same sins that they do today. Therefore, it is said in the scriptures, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through verse 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, and the boasting of life is not from the Father, but from the world. The world is passing away along with its desire, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. Joseph's brothers were guided by envy and a desire to be the first. And though Jacob had a unique blessing for each of them, each was special and called by the Lord. Likewise, today there is a lot of betrayal and injustice around us, resulting from envy and false fears. Potiphar's wife was guided by lust, and although Joseph's life to some extent belonged to her, she also wanted to take his soul and his faith. In the same way, today, some circumstances, people, and temptations around us promise us an easy victory and success if we follow the path of sin. But all they want is to take your faith and your soul from you. But what is very important is that Joseph remained faithful and kept his faith and good consciousness in all trials, and he did not compromise with his convictions and his righteousness. His righteousness and a clear consciousness were most important to Joseph. One of the biggest enemies of God's ways and our faith is a compromise. In itself, the concept of compromise is not harmful. We must compromise in our families in order to maintain peace and healthy relationships. And countries must compromise to sustain peace and achieve success. Therefore, compromise is an integral part of our lives. But compromise is unacceptable in matters of our consciousness, faith, and righteousness. An easy path of compromise is unacceptable in our walk with the Lord. But today, to our regret, now is the time when humanity has confused concepts. And as a result of that, some people today are not ready to compromise on simple issues of life, and at the same time are quickly prepared to sacrifice their faith and spiritual principles. And often, people are ready to achieve career growth or some success through lust, corruption, sin, and deceit. Theirs is a saying that the end justifies the means, but this is an absolute lie. The goal cannot be an excuse for iniquity and sin, and we do not have permission from God to achieve high goals with the help of sinful motives and actions. Our primary calling as a children of God is to live by the principles of the Holy Scriptures and build our lives in accordance with them. I would like to read 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But if I delay, I write so you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the community of the living God, a pillar and foundation of truth. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And I also tell you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my community, and the gates of Sheol will not overpower it. So, our congregation, our faith, our trust in the Lord is a city of refuge for people perishing in their sins. We have no other choice but to keep the faith and walk in the righteousness of our Savior and Lord Yeshua the Messiah is given to us. And Joseph is an example for us. Joseph was unjustly condemned by his brothers, who were ready to judge his motives and actions. But he remained righteous when the hearts of Joseph's brothers were evil and arrogant. They fought for influence, and therefore, when Joseph told them the dream that the Lord gave him, they took his story as a desire to control them and rule over them. And the worst thing is that they were absolutely sure that they were right and that Joseph was cheating on them. Joseph did not compromise with Potiphar's wife, offered him her protection and pleasure in exchange for sin, and he did not want to achieve his career in exchange for the betrayal of his master. He withstood all trials and remained faithful to the Lord. The story of Joseph is more relevant today than ever before, when it seems that the whole world is going into the war against the Lord and his anointed ones. We are called to be children of God and live pure lives to please our Heavenly Father. And Joseph is an example of this. Let us think about Joseph's life for some time. He received the calling when he was a young man, and he had a dream that determined his future. He received the calling to be the way of salvation for his family. And his father, Jacob, heard and understood Joseph's dream because he had the experience with the Lord. He himself had a dream that determined his future, a dream in which the Lord appeared to him and gave him a vision, the direction of his life. And now his son, Joseph, has a dream in which he receives a farther direction for his destiny. It would seem that this is a calling from God, and everything according to the will of God should be easy. Therefore, everyone in the family should recognize Joseph's importance and authority. But the fact is that there can be years of preparation between the calling from the Lord and the direct fulfillment of this calling. Sometimes when the Lord prepares you for a special, specific purpose, it takes a long time. And very often happens that the higher the goal, the more responsible the task, the more preparation and obstacles you face. I'm not even talking now about the fact that the enemy of our salvation will exert all his might to interfere with the fulfillment of the vision given by the Lord. Please remember Nehemiah, who was called to build walls around Jerusalem. Remember Moses, who led his people through the wilderness. Remember Yeshua, who brought us redemption and the salvation of our souls. The higher the goal, the larger the calling, the more opposition and pressure, and the longer preparation time. But the most wonderful news is that even if today you go through betrayal, through the temptation of sin, and remain faithful to God and His calling, the Lord will surely deliver you and give you freedom. When Satan tempted Yeshua, he offered him all the earth's riches in exchange for worship to him. But Yeshua did not want anything from Satan. He knew who his father was and expected a blessing only from him. Let us read Psalm 124. It's a wonderful psalm. Psalm 124 and verse 2, 3, 5, 6, and 7. Verse 2. Had Adonai not been on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive when their wrath burned against us. Verse 5. Then the raging waters would have swept over our soul. Verse 6. Blessed be Adonai, who has not given us as a prey for their teeth. Our soul has escaped like a bird out of the snare of the trappers. The snare is broken and we escaped. And verse 8. Our help is in the name of Adonai, maker of heaven and earth. How important it is for each of us to pay our attention not on problems, not on enemies, not on temptations, but on Almighty God. The first half of the psalm is about the harsh reality of life, what is happening around us, and the reality of problems that enemies seeking to destroy us. But the second half of the psalm talks about God's intervention, about His omnipotence, about the fact that He alone is the answer for us. Do you remember verse 8? Our help is in the name of Adonai, maker of heaven and earth. The Lord controls everything, and everything will be fulfilled according to His will. We have nothing to fear about. Therefore, Joseph is an excellent example of this. He became great, successful, prosperous, but most importantly, he was prepared for the salvation of his people Israel and all of Egypt. In the end, I would like to talk about one essential quality of Joseph that helped him go through all the trials and become victorious in his life. What brought him out of the Egyptian prison from which there was no way out? He was sentenced to spend his whole life there and die in obscurity. Let us open Genesis chapter 40, verse 2, and let us read about what was important in Joseph's life. Genesis 40, verse 2. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, with the chief of the cupbearers and with the chief of the bakers. So he put them in custody of the house of the commander of the bodyguards in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. The commander of the bodyguards assigned Joseph to be with them and served them as their personal servant. They were in custody for some time. When the two of them each dreamed a dream on the same night, the dream of each man, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each had its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he observed them, and there they were, looking miserable. He asked Pharaoh's official who were with him in the custody of the house of his master, saying, "Why are your faces so sad today?" Then Joseph explained to them the meaning of dreams, and through this the Lord gives him freedom. So let's read the key verse here. Verse 6. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he observed them, and there they were, looking miserable. Can you imagine? Joseph, who was undeservedly humiliated, thrown into prison, And this was not an American prison. It was an ancient Egyptian prison without TV and hot water. He not only did not become frustrated and bitter with God and people, but he also found the strength to notice that they were looking miserable and serve them. Joseph had the heart of a servant, and his life did not belong to him. I believe at some point in his life, he decided to serve the Lord and people who come across his path and remain faithful in his decision. And please be careful here, pay attention. And this decision saved his life and determined his future. He was ready to serve. He was glad to serve people around him. Joseph served them with all his heart. And because of that, he was saved. We are also called to this. We are the answer from the Lord to perishing people, and they can see God's love and his presence in us. And I believe that real joy and freedom in the Lord can be experienced when you take care not only of yourself, but also of people who need you. Someone once compared a person with the riverbed through which God's water, the water of the Holy Spirit, flows. And the more the Holy Spirit flows through us into the lives of other people, the more we are filled with His love, His power, and His joy. Living for God and other people, we become truly happy and prosperous. The Lord brings us to a new level of blessing and grants us new victories. Therefore, it is said that whoever is faithful in little will be entrusted many. And in conclusion, I would like to show the most interesting prophetic aspect from today's chapter. In the ancient Jewish tradition, the Messiah is called Ben Joseph, or son of Joseph. This title describes the 53rd chapter of the prophet Isaiah, where we see that the Messiah will be rejected, punished, put to death for our sins in order to bring great redemption and life for each of us. Just like Joseph, Yeshua was betrayed by his own family and suffered for our redemption. Just as Joseph brought salvation from starvation to his family and all Egypt, Yeshua became salvation for his people, Israel, and all the tribes of the earth, for all who humbly come to him for heavenly bread. I want to read John chapter 1, verse 10. John chapter 1, verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. But the world did not know him. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But whoever did receive him, those trusting in his name, to these he gave the right to become children of God. They were born not of a bloodline, nor of human desire, nor of man's will, but of God. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. We looked upon his glory, the glory of the one and only from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies about him. He cried out, saying, "This is he of whom I said, 'The one who comes after me is above me, because he existed before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace on top of grace. Torah was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Yeshua the Messiah. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only God in the Father's embrace has made him known." Amen. Thank you very much for attention. In the end, I want to remind you, if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. We will close with Aaron's blessing as we normally do at Beth Israel. So let us pray together. Yivarech Adonai veishmerecha, Yair Adonai panavelecha vichunecha, Yissa Adonai panavelecha veyasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha. Shabbat shalom. See you tomorrow. Right.